The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. What is honesty? More and more people say they honestly don't know. A reporter who was asking pedestrians in Houston the question, what is honesty, got some amazing replies. A waitress said honesty is anything you can tell and get away with. And a pipe fitter said honesty is the best policy if it works. And a metal worker said honesty in this day and time is unheard of. But whatever honesty is, it's becoming a scarcer commodity all the time, and more people agree they simply don't know what it is. Is it any wonder then that government leaders, educators, sociologists are worried about a trend in our Western world, our society, where people increasingly say they honestly don't know what honesty is? They say there are no absolutes, no moral or ethical standards by which they feel they ought to live. And we see a trend in crime and violence of the watering down of moral values and ethics of an anything-goes society where it's getting caught is the real crime today. And it's no wonder sociologists and law enforcement agencies are worried about our Western world, the startling shift in moral and ethical values, the shocking plunge towards personal moral anarchy, where the it depends idea and the anything goes idea has caught fire today, because we have lost a sense of national direction and purpose, and we have lost a personal sense of purpose and a goal. Few, if any, people see any real purpose in life today. There's no personal goal beyond the shallow acquisition of material goods and the avowed intention, as some people say, to step on any and everybody to get those material goods and to enjoy the physical things that we like to surround ourselves with that we think life is going to be happier because of. Some of the questions put to people in business, in industry, shopkeepers, maybe men frying hamburgers as short order clerks or cooks and other people, are rather revealing about whether or not people are able to say what is right and what is wrong. Now, a question was put to people in various jobs, is it possible for someone to be 100% honest in business and be a success? A bartender answered to that one, it's highly improbable. There is a bit of larceny in all of us. And his reasoning is that since it's there, it just must come out. And people always like to say, well, human nature being what it is. Now, that says that since we are, by nature, liars, cheats, hypocrites, we're filled with all kinds of mercenary intent. And we are, by nature, filled with vanity, and we're lustful, and we're jealous, and we're greedy. That we, therefore, must recognize this is human nature, and we must give vent to all of our passions, all of our unrestrained energies, and we simply go the way of least resistance, and then we come up with a new morality and dress up immorality and licentiousness, chicanery, fiddling, lying, and cheating in a tuxedo, and call it by a different name, call it new morality. And we do this, of course, with the increasing libertine attitude towards sex in the Western world. So it's no wonder the bartender said it's highly improbable anybody could be 100% honest in business and be a success. He says there's a bit of larceny in all of us. Besides, competition in business has never been as keen as it is now. It's dog-eat-dog, and ethics go out the window. An honest man in business is too naive to succeed. Either he smartens up fast, or he goes bankrupt. Now, of course, that isn't exactly true, but that's what this man said. An executive secretary said truthfully, no. In answer to this question, is it possible for someone to be 100% honest in business and still succeed? Truthfully, no, said this executive secretary. A man who always goes by the golden rule finds that it puts him at a disadvantage in competition with others. Now, another person, a chef who was cooking and had been for years, said, no, it isn't possible to be honest. How do I know? He said, I had a small luncheonette for a couple of years. And he said, I was honest and I lost everything. A woman journalist said, well, it's possible, but they're few and far between. A male kitchen worker said, not anymore. It's not possible anymore, to be honest. You can't afford to be completely honest. He said, I'd say that 90% of people in business today are dishonest to some extent. You read stories every day about inferior products, kickbacks on houses, bribes, and the like. I worked in a factory once where the boss was so honest he lost his shirt. This was a man-on-the-street poll taken in New York City recently. The answers to the question, is it possible for someone to be 100% honest in business and be a success? Now, the real answer to that question is yes, absolutely, positively, and you bet it is. But most people have experienced nothing but failure because they weren't truly honest, and they haven't known very many people who were. And these stories about a boss who was so honest he lost his shirt are just that, stories. Because you can absolutely prove there is a living law that is just as active as the law of gravity, just as active as the laws of physical chemistry, of physics, of science, with which we deal every single day, and that honesty is the best policy. I can prove that to you. Or you could prove it to yourself, but most people are too timid to try. But at least this gives you the attitude of people about honesty. Now, the trouble is, a lot of people really do believe that it's impossible to be honest and to get ahead. It depends on what you mean, get ahead, of course. It depends on to whom you look for your success and what you think success is. But to go on to give you the attitude of people today, today's teenager is more concerned with getting there. Now, primarily, of course, there is an element among teenagers today that is concerned with going nowhere. And that's exactly where that element is going. But there are many others who are concerned with getting there, wherever that there is, and however they achieve this there, wherever it is, by getting. But to them, that means success. And success usually means money, or better yet, the things that money can buy. The social stratum to which they can climb. The acquisition of material goods. The kind of home in which they live. The automobiles, how many of them, and the type that they are able to drive. The kind of clothing they wear. The places they go. The kind of people that they know. And that getting there that is constantly displayed to us through television, the motion pictures, the novels, the magazines, all the glitter, the tinsel, and the shine and glamour of our modern Disneyland of advanced technology and our vaunted scientific achievements, is something that is lusted for and desired so earnestly by today's teenagers. They lust and desire to have things. Now, recently, a survey, an independent survey by another newspaper, about the desires of teenagers and how these desires are achieved was revealing about the immorality of today. A study conducted by a large Midwestern city newspaper, and this was by a staff of educators, sociologists, and some of the teenagers themselves, revealed that only a small minority of teenagers regarded cheating as immoral. Most of them don't regard cheating as a matter for moral judgment at all. They said, we're pressured from all sides, and so this is the only way out. Now, this is always the excuse. The oldest dodge in the world is the one that was used clear back in the Garden of Eden. Now, some people say, oh, you don't believe that story, do you? Well, that's all right. Most people don't believe in much of anything except disbelief. You can prove whether or not that occurred. But the oldest dodge in the world was, well, I didn't do it. Somebody else did. Or I do it because doesn't everybody? Or, well, sure, I would cheat, but other people cheat me. And doesn't everybody? It's the oldest dodge in the world that my sins are justified by your sins, that if we sin together, we make each other clean. You lie to me and I lie to you and we're both happy, but wouldn't it be a lot better if we both told the truth? Someone, somewhere, ought to begin realizing that he ought to start telling the truth. Now, I've been on a series on the World Tomorrow broadcast about a great law that goes absolutely contrary to human nature. A law that, if it were obeyed in any one of its 10 cardinal points, would usher in an era of utopian-like plenty and splendor and unbelievable prosperity on this earth, and clean up a whole host of deep social ills. If you were to apply any one of those major 10 commandments, and to just let your mind wander about what would it be like, what kind of a world would it be, if everyone everywhere obeyed just that one point of law, you can't begin to believe the wonderful world we would have. Now, the Ten Commandments are found in the Bible. And don't get excited about that. President Johnson even quoted the Bible. He does quote the Bible once in a while. Senators quote it, and they haven't been commanded not to by the Supreme Court or anybody else. And, as a matter of fact, there was a Bible on John F. Kennedy's desk. So the Bible has been referred to by government leaders, even by military leaders. I remember reading about how General Patton would oftentimes even read the Bible before he went into battle. I don't know about which parts, possibly some of the battles of the Old Testament. But in your Bible are 10 commandments given, repeated twice, in rather formal terms, back here in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, and magnified in much of the rest of the Bible, and completely and spiritually magnified in the Sermon on the Mount, as it's been called, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 of the first book of the New Testament. I've been discussing this eighth commandment about how people are not supposed to steal. Thou shalt not steal. And we've been talking about what a wonderful world it would be if nobody ever did. About our locks and keys and the multiple billions of dollars stolen from government, from the military, from industry, from supermarkets, from department stores and drug stores, and from citizens and from each other, and children who are stealing from their parents, and parents who are stealing from the boss, and the boss who is stealing from the federal income tax or the Internal Revenue. And then about the attitudes of people in justifying their stealing. But now the next commandment, the ninth commandment to which we have now come in this series, in verse 20 of the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy says, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Now that's further broken down in the New Testament about lying, about all of the flappings of mouths today, of perjured persons, of people who swear, as they say, on a stack of Bibles, and then you still can't believe a word they say. Of people who avow on their grandmother's grave that such and such is true, and you know they're lying all the way along. And the attitude of people toward lying and cheating and falsification of records and all of the misrepresentations, the minimizations, the exaggerations of life is the frightening part of it. If an individual had to tell the truth, you know, a lot of TV shows talk about that. There's one called To Tell the Truth. And, of course, three people start out by two of them are lying, and then we try to find out who's doing it. But, you know, if people had to tell the truth, if you absolutely had to, can you imagine how society would just be completely stood on its head? It'd be the most amazing thing in the world. If somebody walks up and says, hello, Gertrude, what do you think of this hat? Oh, I think it's the most ghastly collection of fruits and vegetables I've ever seen on anybody's head. Instead of, why, my dear, it looks absolutely lovely, and I'm so glad you bought it. If everybody had to tell the truth, can you imagine how many court trials would be different, and even maybe the outcomes would be different? Can you imagine the complete difference in all of jurisprudence, in legislation? Can you imagine the different political campaigns there would be if everybody everywhere told the truth? Now, a lot of people say, well, that would create such chaos that you'd go to war over it. Well, if you didn't have human nature changed, I suppose that's about true. Because a lot of the parliamentarians and politicians and statesmen and others would begin telling the real truth about their innermost feelings toward each other and toward races and toward nations. And you talk about some innermost feelings being revealed, you would really see a story to write to your grandkids about then, wouldn't you? Well, a lot of people reason around that since it would cause all those problems, that maybe it's better that people don't tell the truth. Well, that's the sad part of it. It isn't better at all, and there is going to come an era when people will tell the absolute truth and where human nature will be changed, and where it will be an absolute law, a spiritual law in force and effect, that a person dares not bear false witness, and that bearing false witness, especially when it has to do with maligning of character, with the imputing of false motives, or with telling a false story about the conduct of some other person relevant to some punishment, he's about to receive, that is a cardinal and a capital crime punishable by death. It was in ancient Israel. It is one of the Ten Commandments God gave that nation of people. And bearing false witness against a neighbor was just as bad as murder, just as bad as Sabbath breaking, just as bad as adultery. But today we're living in a new morality, a new era of the watering down of ethics and moral standards, and people regard cheating as moral. They regard lying and fiddling and conniving and cheating and robbing the till and shading your income tax report and padding the expense account and stealing from the supermarket as justifiable depending upon the circumstances. Now, by the teenager's own estimates, 50 to 90% of the students in the Detroit area, where all the high schools had been questioned, did cheat on their exams or on their homework. A 17-year-old who was valedictorian at one of suburbia's fashionable schools said, "Sure I cheat. I've cheated in almost every subject I've ever taken." Another senior girl said, "I know kids in the National Honor Society who have been cheating all the way." And because of the intense drive for security of wanting to get ahead. And again, for the good life, one Detroit boy said, listen to this one now, because it comes from a young teenager who doesn't even yet know what getting ahead means. But here's what a little kid just barely out of Knickerbockers is going to say. "I want to get ahead, and I'll step on people to do it. Money is important to me." Boy, is he ever joining the majority. Money is important to everybody. "I enjoy the good things." That sounds like a breathless pronouncement. So does everybody. "And I don't want to have to work a whole lifetime to enjoy them." Who does? Isn't that about the way people look at it today? "I want to be successful," he said. Is this sounding like this is something different? Now, he pretty much summed up what everybody from his 80-year-old granddad wants right on down to his little brother, stealing marbles, possibly, from the dime store. Sure, people want to get ahead, but the method they will use to do it, these are the things that are rather shocking today in the way they try to justify it. Several years ago, there was a survey by Look magazine that produced some disturbing clues to the mood of Americans toward the lying, cheating, and stealing trend in American society today. And less than 10% of the people interviewed felt that honesty was a prime prerequisite for success. What the percentages are in Britain, I can't imagine. But taking a good look at British life today, I can imagine if not worse, they're certainly not very much better. And the same thing is true in the fun and the sun nation of Australia, where cheating, shoplifting, petty thievery, and even organized crime is on a skyrocketing rise there. Now, the Look reporters asked questions about cheating in school and business between husbands and wives, about graft, shoplifting, insurance claims, about the day-to-day things people say they would do if they were sure they wouldn't get caught at it. And a casual attitude was revealed. People said with regard to insurance claims and cheating or stealing when nobody was watching. A young woman, for example, in Pennsylvania said, "Who am I to say what's right and wrong?" And that was the attitude that they found prevalent from coast to coast in that survey. They asked questions like, "Would you fake an insurance claim?" And they got the answer almost consistently, "It depends on the amount. Depends on how big it is." They asked questions like, "Would you return a lost wallet?" And people would say, "Well, it depends entirely on how much is in it and who owns it, maybe." And they would ask questions like, "Is it wrong to break a law?" And they would get answers like, "It depends." People would not say, when asked, "Would you fake an insurance claim?" No. They wouldn't say, when asked, "Would you return a wallet?" Yes. They wouldn't say, when asked, "Is it wrong to break a law?" No. Or yes. They wouldn't say that at all. They would say no. In a New York community, 60% of the people interviewed said they lied to their own spouses, and 50% said, of the husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, that they lied to their children. And lying for business reasons was considered by the majority part of the game. It's kind of a game of playing lying, cheating, conniving, stealing, trying to get ahead by using the same methods other people use on you. Now, a lawyer in Illinois, who is a divorce lawyer, incidentally, said, "I'm bargaining for my clients, and I have to get them the best possible deal." So, of course, he admitted he would lie for them. "Now, the type of job I got, you have to tell lies to protect the boss," said a court bailiff in the same town. An advertising man summed it up in the pursuit of the dollar. He said, "Anything goes." Well, there you have a pretty good cross-section of the attitude of people about the Ninth Commandment. Not bearing false witness, not telling lies, not shading the truth, but being honest. Executives way up the ladder who have already achieved what the young kid said he wanted and he would step on people to get there have said that they had to lie and cheat and steal to get there. They were asked, "Is honesty the best policy in management?" And a survey recently conducted by Modern Office Procedures magazine left a big doubt as to whether a man could move up through the ranks of management solely by honest and decent methods. And that question was put to 103 business executives, and an overwhelming majority of them doubted whether a strictly honest policy would enable a man to rise to the top in the business world. Only two of them answered yes, and one of those said he knew he was being naive. Others claimed a knife in the back or a word to the exec or somebody over them about the boss over them, or maybe some other method of trying to pull the rug out from under the boss was the fastest way to get ahead. That honest, day in and day out labor, faithful employees plodding away constantly, this just wasn't, they said, the way to do it. Whatever doing it means. Now, people who don't get dirty don't make it, said one of the executives. He said, I'm not defending the practice, I'm simply stating a fact. Another one said, in 30 years, I've known only three men who reached executive positions cleanly, and I admit that I am not one of them. So the idea today is do it to others before they do it to you. And people say they don't really know what is right and what is wrong. And that's a pity. Because unless or until we find out, we have no sense of personal or national direction. And people without a purpose are people who are headed down. Homes without a goal and a purpose are homes that are going to be broken and homes that cannot succeed. Any house divided against itself cannot stand, and a kingdom, an empire, or a nation in confusion and social chaos, in ethic and moral disorder, is a kingdom or a nation that cannot stand for long. And we are headed right down into a vortex of a whirlpool of sadistic crime and brutality, a wave of immorality, and a public and social decadence such as has never occurred before in the history of the world. We right now are suffering from the same five major causes for the destruction of the ancient Roman Empire. And our lying, thieving, stealing society is just one more of those major signs. It's about time we took a good long look at the laws of Almighty God about human nature, about changing it. The Ten Commandments that go absolutely contrary to human nature. The commands that say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And then ask ourselves, wouldn't it be nice if our neighbors would at least obey them? Because, you know, the average person doesn't want someone else cheating him or lying to him. He would just like to be free to cheat someone else or to lie to somebody else. We want others to be courteous, to give, to be considerate, to be forgiving. What are we willing to do in return? The book of Proverbs in the Bible is a book that is loaded with statements about flapping your mouth against somebody else, about bearing false witness, about shading the truth, about lying and tale-bearing, about gossiping. There are many, many chapters of the Bible that have to do with that, but many statements out of this practical, day-to-day, workable book deserve to be read. They deserve to be taught to your children. They deserve to be followed and obeyed because they're not just casual suggestions. These are laws for life, and when they are obeyed, they produce the right results. I can see that proved. I happen to know of three places on earth, maybe even a few more here and there, homes, a few, where honesty is regarded as the best policy, where faithfulness and truth, these are the passwords for the day. I happen to know of a college where small change, quite a few dollars, matter of fact, you've been down in $15, $20, $30 or more, left lying out in open little dishes where students can buy items and make their own change, and where we always seem to come out ahead, where there's never a deficit in it, where there is never any stealing going on between students. I know of three such colleges I could tell you about, ambassador colleges in England, in Texas, and here in Pasadena, California, where that is a way of life among students, where we don't need locks on lockers. We don't need that type of security, because we have a better type, security of the restraint of human nature, security of each individual being a police force of one to watch out for himself, where everybody believes in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, and where cheating on tests is absolutely unheard of, where we give examinations with students sitting shoulder to shoulder in classrooms, the professor can walk out of the room, and there's never a case of anybody cheating. Now, I'm not just kidding, and I'm not blowing the horn of Ambassador College, but I'm telling you it's a wonderful environment, a wonderful spirit to have and to share. It's too bad there's not more of it in the world. Now, those may not be the only places where that is true. Other schools have tried to instill that same feeling of moral character and to a degree have achieved it. Many schools have discipline. Many of them established by churches believe in and practice honesty. And the kind of an atmosphere that they have, regardless as to belief or differences in belief, yet the moral standards and conduct and the kind of atmosphere they have are commendable. In the book of Proverbs, chapter after chapter has verse after verse about lying, about this ninth commandment of not bearing false witness. In verse 17 of the 12th chapter, for example, Solomon was inspired to write, "He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." You ever walked past a group and saw them chuckling and laughing? You probably immediately thought, if one of them happened to glance your way, that they were talking about you. Now, they may have been telling the latest joke and had nothing to do with you whatsoever, and yet our pride and our vanity makes us think that we're so important, they would be talking about us, and we're almost convinced they just told a story about us. And is that ever uncomfortable, especially to high school students? But how much of that type of thing goes on in your life, in your family, in your own private social set? How many people do you know tell the absolute truth about you? Do you always tell the absolute truth about others? You give them the benefit of the doubt? Or do you believe in the statements, "He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction"? Do you believe in the third chapter of the book of James that talks about the tongue, that no man can seem to control of and by himself? It said in verse 22 of Proverbs 12, "Lying lips are an abomination to the eternal, but they that deal truly are his delight." And about the statements of how whisperers separate chief friends, and tale-bearers the destruction that they can cause. You know, a few little lies here and there can sure stir up a fantastic problem. And yet today, business leaders, economists, bankers, lawyers, truck drivers, chefs, students, husbands and wives, parents and children, all cheerfully admit to pollsters that they lie like fish all the time, that they would hardly recognize the truth if they stumbled over it, and they really believe this is the way to live. No wonder that same group of people are so absolutely miserable and unhappy. No wonder there's not very much happiness and a sense of purpose and a sense of fulfillment and well-being in the world today. People admit it's a dog-eat-dog, hustle-bustle of a world. They admit that other people are lying and cheating. That doesn't mean they like it. And then they turn around and justify their own lying and cheating and say, "I've got to do it to get ahead." No, you don't either. Because all that kind of reasoning leaves God out of the picture. It leaves out of the picture the promises of a great God that says, "You are not to lie and to cheat and to steal. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness," and guarantees he will bless your business, and he will bless your marriage and your home if you obey those laws. Write for this book that we have for you on the subject, on the Ten Commandments. It expounds and explains every one of the Ten Commandments in the light of today's dog-eat-dog society and shows you how they are up to date and how they are positive, not just negative. It's not always a thou shalt not. There is a great positive reward on the other side of the fence, and you will read it in this booklet, which is free of charge, and no price for it, on the Ten Commandments. And while you're at it, write for this booklet on the plain truth about childbearing and see how to rear your children to tell the truth and to be honest. In the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, these articles, 7 Keys to Mental Mastery, also has a great deal to do with this type of thing of being honest, forthright, dependable. And read about President Johnson's trip to Australia, the article on the Iron Curtain gathers rust, and this four-eyed look at evolution. They're free of charge, no price, if you write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. For the booklet on the Ten Commandments, the Plain Truth magazine, full color, 52 pages, no price, no follow-up. The address again in just a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.